Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly, The Films, Downton Abbey, A New Era, The Black Phone, and Watcher. Hi, David. How are you? Once again, I ask, how do you select this repast, shall we say, of film?
Well,
filmic repast.
A lot of it has to do with simply what's playing. And these are three new movies, which are all out there. Downton Abbey, A New Era, is still only in movie theaters, but the same with The Black Phone. I think it may be streaming somewhere, but I saw it in a movie theater, and Watcher is definitely a streaming film. So, you know, these are simply new movies that are out there in the world. And I am down in New Orleans for this month. My partner and I are down here because it's a city that we rather like, and it's rather warm out. But yesterday I braved the high temperature and actually walked to a movie theater and saw The Black Phone. And anyway, so that is my exciting story.
That's
what I do, is sit around and figure out how I'm going to see the new movies. Anyway, we've got three of them this week, as we so often do, and let's begin with the one that probably most people have heard of or heard about, which is Downton Abbey, A New Era. This is the second feature film to come out of the Downton Abbey franchise, which, of course, it all started with a TV series, and I thought it was a pretty good TV series. For a while there, I was into it. And rather enjoyed it, and it's a genre that's been around for a long, long time. Way back, a few decades ago, there was a really good TV series called Upstairs, Downstairs, which the same basic idea. And Julian Fellowes, who is the writer of the Downton Abbey franchise, this is the sort of thing he does. And some years ago, he wrote a very, very fine film which Robert Altman directed called Gosford Park. So this is the sort of thing that it's a familiar enough genre these days, and it's the sort of thing that Julian Fellowes really does specialize in, and he does it well. So again, we had the TV series Downton Abbey, and then we had the first film simply called Downton Abbey, and now we have Downton Abbey, A New Era. And so the idea with these feature films appears to be that you got to sort of come up with some new twist. And with Downton Abbey, the first feature film, the twist was that royalty was coming to visit. And I should actually back up for a minute for anyone not familiar with this franchise. Downton Abbey is a place. It is a magnificent estate in Yorkshire, in England. And we have the royalty, well, not the royalty, the aristocracy who live there, the Crawleys, the Earl of Grantham and his family. And then we have all their servants, who are also important characters. So it is another one of these upstairs, downstairs kind of thing, where we have the aristocracy upstairs and the servants downstairs, and of course they interact, and all kinds of little slightly dramatic things tend to happen. So in the first Downton Abbey movie, the big sort of twist was, the big sort of hook for the movie was that royalty was coming to visit. The king and queen were going to make a stopover on one of their journeys at Downton Abbey, and so everybody had to sort of scramble and make everything all nice, as you would do for the king and queen. And now in Downton Abbey, A New Era, there's a couple of little twists in it. One is that the family has inherited, or rather one of the elders of the family has inherited a country place in the south of France. So part of the movie takes place in the south of France, where that country place is. And the other big twist, which is actually a bigger one, is that a movie company approaches the folks at Downton Abbey and says, we would like to use your magnificent estate to film a movie. And now all of this is in the later part of the 1920s. So, you know, this is like all of the Downton Abbey shows. This is a period piece. And of course, the first reaction of the Granthams is that, well, we don't want movie people barging in here and spilling things on the floor and turning everything upside down and setting up their equipment and so forth. But it turns out that Downton Abbey has a leaky roof and that the family doesn't quite have all the money that they wish they would have to fix the leaky roof. And they figure with the money they get from from the film company they can pay to have the roof fixed and everything will be nice as they enter the 1930s. So they decide to allow the movie company to come in and film there. So again, a little bit of the movie takes place in the south of France, where this new country place has just been inherited and where they're now thinking about moving. And there's a little subplot there which involves the Earl of Grantham coming up with a suddenly realization that maybe his ancestry is not what he thought it was. So I won't give away any more about that subplot. But the main part of the movie deals with this movie company coming in and doing their shooting in Downton Abbey. So I now have to say a couple of things about this movie. One is that it's perfectly entertaining. It delivers what you expect it to deliver. The settings are magnificent, whether they're in the north of England or in the south of France. All the performers are, of course, their usual gorgeous and beautiful and wonderful selves. And we have old favorites like Maggie Smith and Elizabeth McGovern and Hugh Bonneville and Michelle Dockery and Imelda Staunton. We have all these fine actors who are doing their stuff. So it's all very nicely done in that respect. However, you know, the part that deals with the filming of the movie at Downton Abbey kind of bothered me in a couple of ways. First of all, here's what happens with that. They're filming this movie, which is called The Gambler, and it's obviously sort of a wild melodrama. And when they're well into filming the movie company, and it's, by the way, it's a real movie company, it really existed, British Lion Films, they suddenly realize that silent movies are no longer popular. We've got to change this into a talkie, into a sound movie with recorded dialogue and so forth. Now, this bothered me a little bit for the following reason. There really was a first talkie ever filmed in England, and it was not a melodrama called The Gambler. It was, in fact, a movie by the great Alfred Hitchcock, then near the beginning of his career, and he was making a suspense movie called Blackmail, and sure enough, they were filming it as a silent movie, and then the film company suddenly said, wait a minute, silent movies are no longer popular, we have to make this into a talkie. And that is how the first silent, the first talkie got made, the first talking picture got made in England. That's the real life story. It was not this melodrama called The Gambler. Now, I happen to have written two books about Alfred Hitchcock, and the fact that the Downton Abbey people are making the first talkie in England, a melodrama called The Gambler, presents me with disturbing evidence, Jill, that these people have not read either one of my Alfred Hitchcock books, or if they have read them, have not absorbed all the information in them.
Isn't anyway, that annoying?
A little bit of a complaint from me. Fake film history, I say. And one more thing, and this is going to be much more noticeable to a lot more people, is that one of the little twists that happens in this movie is that the stars of the silent film, which then turns into a talkie, are the guy whose name, his name is Guy, and he's played by the wonderful Dominic West, who we're all familiar with from The Wire. He is a wonderful, smooth, sweet gentleman, and he moves over into doing the sound for the movie just fine, saying the dialogue and all of this. But the actress, the woman, she can't do it because it turns out that she has a voice like this. And she was fine as a silent film actress, but when she has to record dialogue, she doesn't sound right for the kind of posh upper-class character that she's playing. And so they have to dub her while she has to lip sync her lines while another person actually records the lines outside of camera range. This, of course, is the plot of the classic American musical Singin' in the Rain. And this is completely purloined from Singin' in the Rain. It's a totally stolen plot point. And I can't imagine that Julian Fellowes and the other makers of Downton Abbey, A New Era, would be so blatant as to simply steal this major plot point out of a really well-known Hollywood movie. But they do. Anyway, if you don't mind that, and hey, this is not a venial sin. Excuse me, this is not a mortal sin. It is a venial sin. If you don't mind that, you'll have a good time watching Downton Abbey, A New Era. Again, it delivers what you want. It has those splendid old characters in it. It has all these gorgeous, gorgeous settings, and it's a very nice movie to watch. It's not an exciting movie to watch. It's one of these films that I would describe as pleasantly dull, but you know, it's a nice enough film, and I had a nice enough time watching it. Downton Abbey, A New Era, a pleasantly dull experience. So now, our next two films today, Jill, are in the opposite category, just about. They are both horror movies. And a lot of horror movies get made these these days and come out. And quite a number of them are from an outfit called Blumhouse. And that goes for the first of our films today, the first of our horror films, The Black Phone, which is directed by Scott Derrickson and which is being heavily advertised all over the place as a movie starring Ethan Hawke. And Ethan Hawke is, in fact, in the movie, although he is not really the major character. He is the bad guy, and we just see him from time to time. And during most of the time he's on camera, his face is covered up by a gigantic, horrible-looking mask. In fact, more than one mask over the course of the film. But again, he's not really the main character. The main character is a young boy named Finney, played very, very well by Mason Thames. And it is largely the story of what happens to this young boy. There is a kidnapper in the area, and he is known as the Grabber because he grabs people. And it appears that he has grabbed several young children and who have never been seen again. And yes, sure enough, after the first part of the movie is over, when we have various things that take place mostly at school, and there are fights among the kids and this and that, Finney gets grabbed by the Grabber. And he is in the clutches of the Grabber, and he is being kept in a dungeon underneath a house, and we certainly fear what will happen to him. Well, the name of this movie is The Black Phone, and in the dungeon where young Finney is being kept, there is a telephone hung on the wall. And old, this, by the way, takes place in the late 1970s, so nobody's got cell phones. It's an old-fashioned old black phone that's hanging on the wall, but it's completely disconnected. The wires are just dangling. There's no connection with the outside world. However, Finney starts getting phone calls on this disconnected phone from other kids who have been grabbed by the Grabber in recent months. And they give him little hints as to how he might get out of there. And so it's basically, it's a ghost movie in a large way. We're getting these telephone calls from people who have been grabbed and are presumably dead, other little kids. And all the while, Finney is being kept by the Grabber, and the Grabber comes into this thing every once in a while, and he is just as weird and sinister and just as much of a monster as we might expect from a kidnapper who kidnaps and kills young kids. And that is what the movie is about. So yeah, this is a pretty hardcore horror movie. And it's got, by the way, quite a bit of violence in it. And some of that violence is just, in the early part of the movie, fights among the kids. When these kids have fights, they don't just wrestle the way kids did when I was in middle school and high school. They punch each other and they knock each other's faces to bloody pulps and all of that. And also, there is a father in the movie who is very, very abusive and who rather enjoys, it seems, beating his kids. So there's a lot of violence in this movie, real life-type violence, fights and beatings by a parent. And then we have the horrible things that the Grabber does and the horrible things that he's done to previous kids and the terrible things that might well happen to Finney. So that's what the movie is about. Is it well done? It's very well done. Is it violent? It's pretty darn violent. Does it involve a whole lot of menace and violence directed against young kids, which makes it all the more disturbing? Yep, it's got that too. So this is a horror movie if you really want to see a horror movie, which is pretty horrific. In fact, one of the aspirations of some of the kids in this movie, when they're not in the hands of the Grabber, they all want to see the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And this movie is not quite as grisly as that classic, but it's up there. So if you want to see a good hardcore horror movie with a good performance by Ethan Hawke, by the way, he does very nicely as a hideous villain, then go see the Black Phone. It has a black phone, it delivers on the violence, and it's a pretty well-done suspense picture. And our final movie for today, Jill, one more horror movie called Watcher, directed by Chloe Okuno. And we have here another kind of a familiar kind of a horror movie situation where we have a young woman who becomes convinced that she is being watched. What makes all this a bit unusual is that it is taking place in Romania. This young American woman and her husband have moved to Romania, where the husband has taken a job. The husband comes from Romanian stock, and so he speaks the language. She does not speak the language at all. And so, and a lot of the time she's on her own because her husband is working and traveling and stuff like that. So she becomes convinced that someone across the street is watching her from his window across the way, and then she becomes convinced that this watcher is following her and tracking her about, and she really tries to do something about this, but she really can't. She has a neighbor who lives down the hall in her apartment building who she tries to get some help from, and a little bit of help does come from that way, but then it turns out that there is a serial killer in the area, and the serial killer, who may be the same who is watching and perhaps stalking our main character, decapitates young women. So we have here another pretty violent situation with a whole lot of menace and ominous stuff going on, as we have our main character, whose name, by the way, is Julia, being stalked and being watched. And then she tries to be proactive about this and to confront the person who she thinks is stalking her and watching her. And that goes in unexpected directions. And all the time, she doesn't speak the language, which makes it really kind of scary in all kinds of different ways. It's very much a movie about disorientation as well as about physical threat. Watcher is a fairly quiet movie most of the way. It has some grisliness in it. It's about somebody who decapitates people, but it's done in a way more of quiet menace, quiet suspense than over the top violence, although there is some of that along the way. It's a very well directed movie. Technically, it's excellent, and it develops quite a lot of suspense. I had a good time watching it. I was absorbed in it, although I don't think I'm going to find it very memorable in the long term. So if you want to watch a really grisly horror movie, then go for The Black Phone. If you want to watch a somewhat subtler horror movie, then go for Watcher. And if you don't want any horror at all, then watch Downton Abbey, A New Era. So something for everybody this week, Jill. That's my story.
So kind of you. Thank you very much, David Sterrett. Something for everybody. Films in focus. The films Downton Abbey, A New Era, The Black Phone, and Watcher.